Good evening. This is me talking to you on the Red Pill News, Red Pill News, Red Pill News, Red Pill News. Take the red pill for September 15th. It's actually September 16th. Did you know that? To the powers that be, September 16th. I'll tell you this. No eternal reward will forgive us now for wasting the dawn. Jim Morrison said that. Perfect, unbelievable insight from an amazing poet. You know, if you know Jim Morrison, you know him as an artist, right? Of course, he was the lead singer of The Doors, all of that. And his death was mysterious and weird. A lot of people said he just took off, took his money and took off and faked his death in France and the whole bit. But whatever, man. Doesn't matter. You know what matters? You do. And I was feeling that today when I went to pull out on the main road. I had to go to a doctor's appointment because I have a new doctor. So I had to get rid of the old doctor. They got rid of me, actually, because I complained. I complained about some stuff, and they launched me out the door. That's people these days. But go to my new doctor. So I live in like a rural area. It's Amish, whatever, lakes, that type of thing. Right, and then there's only a couple of main roads that go down between these lakes. So I go out to the main road, and then there's never any traffic, never. You get on that road, you go 50, 65, 70, whatever, man, booking down the road, right? And there was like car after car after car going really slow. I'm like, what the hell is this, man? Everybody's got their blinkers on. I'm like, oh, it's probably some funeral, you know? And I'll tell you about dead people. They're not in a hurry to get anywhere, you know? And if you are in a hurry to get somewhere and there's somebody in front of you who's dead, then you're not going to get where you need to get on time. I left fully 40 minutes early because I was going to make a stop and go to a store and whatever before my appointment, you know, and got into this flow of traffic. Then it stopped at some point, and we sat there. 10 minutes went by. I was like, I can't do it, man. I looked on my map. You know, took out the phone, got the map, whatever. Turned around, went back to one of the main roads, which is way the hell back, to get over to another road. And I'm cursing the entire time of this dead dude. Like, how dare you, you know? How dare you? You know, I mean, the people that following along, right? They should have got a bus. They should have done something or meet there separately or to tie up traffic like that. And, you know, this is like one of the only roads that go north and south there. So it was ambulances, fire trucks, tractor trailers trying to get somewhere. And here's this thing. So, yeah, that was like the start of the day for me. And I don't like waiting in line. I have a huge problem with that. Maybe it sounds like nitpicky, but I don't care. It's my show. I can say what the fuck I want to say. It really comes down to how dare they? How dare they, you know? And is one person all that important? No. I don't care who it was. It could be the president. It could be the vice president. It could be anybody. I don't care. It could be the Pope. I don't care who the hell it is. They have no business blocking that road like that. I could see, all right, people are going to go a little slow because there's so many cars. There have to be 1,000 of them, you know, without exaggeration. And it was just, okay, whatever. Who even has that many friends? Nobody. This dude, he's the last one and he's dead. So you probably never see something like that ever again. I mean, usually if there's a funeral, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 cars will be following along, maybe even 20, 25. But this was like ridiculous. I thought it was just something going on, apocalypse or whatever. I didn't know whether to turn around or whatever. It took me 3 weeks to get this doctor's appointment. So I was going to cancel, and that was an hour away. So I gave myself 40 minutes worth of extra time. It was an hour away. I made it there 8 minutes ahead of time. And I was whipping, driving fast. Police radar up, flying, watching out for deer. What kind of deer jump in front of you around here? Sometimes a bear. Sometimes just dumbasses running out into the road. I get lots of that. But anyway, I made it. Made it. Everything's good. No problem. That's it. Did what I had to do. But I want to talk about stupidity. And then the mask thing, wearing a mask, has become an intelligence test for me. I automatically know what I'm dealing with when someone's not wearing a mask. And it's you know, it's, I heard all the stories already from these people. It's my right not to wear it. I don't have to wear it. I don't believe in no COVID and the vaccine. Listen, man. You don't have the right to make somebody else sick. I'll give you that. You don't have the right to go out there and expose people, especially if you have something. You know, there are people that don't care. There are people that, if you know, when the AIDS crisis happened, right, HIV, there were people who got it who went out sleeping with other people without protection because they wanted to give it to them. That's how sick it was. And there were people who got arrested and put in prison for a very long time because they did that specifically to endanger other people's lives, you know. So you don't have the right to do that. So, and if you want to stop COVID, it's all about the droplets. If you know anything about viruses and how they get around, especially this one, it's about the, you know, keeping your hands clean, yeah, but mainly keeping that mask on your face, especially if you're ugly. You know what I mean? But you really need to keep the droplets out. And are they 100% effective? No, it says right on the label, N95. That means it's 95% effective of keeping out 95% of airborne particles, right? And yeah, this small stuff. Hey, man, I have the mask on in the store. I go down the chemical aisle. I can smell those chemicals a bit. You know, not as pronounced if I take it off, but I can still smell them. You know, so I mean, it's not perfect, but it's a percentage. So you have a better percentage chance of not getting it if you wear the mask, especially if you run into a place and you run the hell out of a place. You know, these groups of people hanging out, there's large groups of people hanging out. There's, you know, and yeah, this stuff I'd love to do. You know, I mean, this is fall in the Northeast. You have the trees are changing. There's all kinds of vineyards and old places like that that have events. They have bands. They have you know, all kinds of wine tasting, you know, other kinds of tasting. There's you know, distilleries around, beer gardens, or anything you like. It's available. You know, it's nice just to roll up to a farm and you know, get some cheese and hang out. And it's like, it's, you got nature. It's beautiful, right? So out in sunshine, it's great. Inside with a bunch of people, nope, I won't do it. And when I run to a store, I know what I need. I run in there, get what I get the hell out of there as fast as possible. And I don't care if you're vaccinated, you're not. I'm fully vaccinated, but I still wear the mask. And of course, I've always washed my hands. So there's nothing new with that. But I still wear the mask, you know, in those situations. Do I wear it if I'm hanging out with a friend, especially if I know where they've been? You know, no. I don't have to worry about that as much, you know, especially if they're vaccinated, I'm vaccinated, but you still say people can carry it. You know, there are people who wear the mask to their hands, got vaccinated, stayed away from everybody, and then the one person will go to a meeting at work or something, or doing something for an hour, and then bang, they get exposed. And all of a sudden, there they are, getting sick with the vaccine. Now you have the Lambda virus, which is exploding. You got the Mu. So all these you know, mutations, they're changing it up, and they're targeting our cells. As they want us. They want you, especially if you're sick, especially if you have diabetes or something like that, if you're immunocompromised. So, but this is an interesting story. And this is a common story. You might think that the media, because you know how evil the media is, you know. You might think that they're trying to profiteer off of these stories. And you know, so they're pronounced these days when you see a mask story or a vaccine story or whatever. Of course they're trying to profiteer off it. You ever look at any of these things? Yeah, you ever try to open up one of these web pages, and they have all of these ads pop open, boom, boom. Even if you have pop-up blockers, man, because they're actually in the script of the page. You have videos starting up, and not just one video, five, six, seven video. If your computer's not fast, it's gonna choke. It's gonna choke your computer out. So here we are. All these things pop, 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 pop. When it's like that, I don't even go to them. I don't even use their sites. It's got nothing for me. You know, if I can't read an article without having videos pop up in my face or an ad on the side shaking back and forth to grab my attention, it's just nothing but a distraction. And it takes away for the reason why I'm on that page, which is for the article. So back in the day, newspapers, they didn't do that. If there's an ad, it doesn't move around unless you're moving the paper around, something like that. So yeah, I'm getting nostalgic. All right. A bank manager at Wells Fargo in California was beaten after his shift ended by a client who refused to wear a face mask, okay? The unnamed man, who is described as being in his mid-40s and bald, walked into the Grover Beach Bank on September 3rd and responded aggressively after being told to put on a mask. So why is he unnamed? And they're doing that a lot these days. It's not like they don't have the information. They do. But if you notice, these criminals, they will not put their names out there anymore because it's another PC move, politically correct. And remind me to talk about the Comedy Channel and what's going on there. All right. So the bank manager, who the paper, the Tribune, referred to as A, to protect his, so they're not giving out the bank manager. So you see, the bank manager is the victim. They shouldn't give the victim's name out. They're a victim. But the perpetrator, especially with an idiot not wearing a mask, everyone should know his stupid name, right? So, all right. So the bank manager offered him a mask to wear, but the man reportedly became even more hostile and started rummaging through the drawers in the bank's lobby. I'm looking for something. They should have gave him like a mask made of a $100 bill. He'd put that on. When A, the bank manager, who is Hispanic, well, I'm not sure why that matters, threatened to call the police. The local media outlet reported that he was then called a racist slur by the unmasked man. There you go. At the end of A's shift, at around 5:30 p.m., they reported that the man showed up at the Wells Fargo parking lot, grabbed the bank manager, and pushed him towards a wall. I'm starting to gather myself a bit, and I realize I'm under attack. Bank manager recalled. He realized he's at what point did you realize you're under attack? When the guy's accosting you, grabbing you, and pushing you up against the wall? The two men began to fight. And the bank manager said he tried to choke the aggressive client, according to the media outlet. So the bank manager is now choking this dude, right? Okay, we're getting on it. Meanwhile, a coworker called the police, and the man fled. Bah! Okay, according to the Tribune, the bank manager suffered a concussion and lacerations to the head, hands, and feet, face. He had not returned to work since the incident. So if he's got lacerations, it's more than just pushing the guy up against the wall. You know what I mean? And he tried to choke the dude. It sounded like a brawl. A brawl in the bank parking lot. I've heard of lots of stupid stories in my life. One was really, it was my barber told me when I went in there. It was when Trump was running against Hillary. And two clients, two old men, one a Hillary fan, one a Trump fan, got into a fist fight in the barber shop and was rolling around on the floor, like in all the hair that's on the floor. two old men. Fist fight rolling around over Trump and Hillary. Idiots. Fucking idiots, man. You know? Freaking idiots. So in a statement to the Tribune, Grover Beach Police Chief John Peters confirmed a report filed regarding a battery and a hate crime. It's a hate crime. Everything's a hate crime now. So it's all over the stupid mask. And it's not unusual to feel slighted when somebody's around you who's not wearing the mask, but you know that COVID is exploding right now. You know that the rate of transmission is unbelievably high. You also know that these people are spreading it around, whether you have the vaccine, you don't have the vaccine, anyone can carry COVID and spread it around. Some people have it and they're asymptomatic, which means they have no symptoms. So anyone can spread it. But these people, they're not just, it's not just them not wearing the mask. It's people being that bold to, they'll scoot right up next to you in line at the checkout, you know, and breathe all over you and like try to evoke a reaction. They see you wearing a mask. There are tons of reports, thousands of these guys going up to other people, ripping masks off people's faces. So it's beyond their rights and what they think their rights are. They want you to do what they want you to do. So it's, so for their bullcrap argument, it's my right not to wear the mask. But if you're going to condemn other people for wearing masks, number one, then you're a hypocrite idiot. Number two, you know, the very fact of the matter, the government abandoned everybody when they got rid of these mask mandates. It was abandonment by the government. And then people are just left to fight it out amongst themselves, you know, so whatever. Yeah, I'm vaccinated. I wear the mask in stores. Do I wear the mask in my car by myself? No. I see people doing it all the time. And I'm like, oh, my God, look at that. Do if I'm riding a bicycle outside, do I wear the mask? No. You know? So, I mean, but in a store? Yeah. Around people? Yeah. Or in the doctor's office? Yeah. You're damn right. So now schools are open, and that's becoming a whole other thing. So the Comedy Channel. This is my problem. It used to be cool a long, long time ago. And for quite a while, the Comedy Channel had become this Adam Sandler and what's the other guy's name? I guess there's only two. Will Ferrell, those guys. Will Ferrell, he's all right. He gets on my nerves. After you've seen him in one movie, you don't need to see him in another movie. The same thing for Adam Sandler, same thing for Jim Carrey, people like that, right? They only have one personality. They only have one thing that they do. Don't tell me they're great actors because they're not. They couldn't act their way out of a paper bag. They're just funny people who got put in movies, you know, by these production companies, right? And it's just they sign a contract. It's done. They milk them for everything. They're basically ads. They're ads. They sell Pepsi. They sell Coke. They sell Jell-O pudding. Whatever the hell they sell. You know what I mean? Doesn't matter what kind of people they are. So Will Ferrell, he's fine. He's all right. Do I think he's the funniest guy in the world? Absolutely not. He doesn't really make me laugh. There's a couple of movies that I can watch him in, and you know, at this point, probably not even because I, you know, what it is. If I see something too much, I reject it. And then that's the Comedy Channel for Adam Sandler movies. There should be a 20-year moratorium on Adam Sandler movies. Period. Just get them out of there. People want to pay for the movie themselves or look it up on the side or watch it online or get the DVD, fine. But don't put it on broadcast TV anymore because just people just aren't really into it, you know. He's a B actor to begin with, and he got into this A actor type of thing. I don't know how. Don't really know how. He just is there. But fine. That was going on for a while. Then they had Trevor Noah. You know, before Trevor Noah, there was the Daily Show had Jon Stewart, right? Who was good? He was great in the Daily Show. You know, fairly balanced, but great for the Daily Show. Funny guy, you know. And they had great segments, or whatever, right? He left, and they put Trevor Noah in there, right? This dude. He really plays up the fact he's from South Africa and whatever. He doesn't give any money to South Africa, by the way. I investigated it. You know, they said that he supported a cause. He hasn't given $1, right? The only money he's given was money that his agent put forth for like different charities that they all give to because they have to for their tax shelter, you know. So it's not like he's doing it out of the goodness of his heart. It's more of a money thing. So, and they all do it, every last one of them, right? But I'm thinking, this guy, you know, if you're a successful dude from South Africa, you make the big bucks, you'd want to support your community where you came from. You want to support, you know, the arts in that type of place, because, you know, it's a very challenged place. South Africa, it's got a lot of problems, man. But nothing. You know what he did? So he's going out with Minka Kelly, right? Or he's going to marry her or something. You know, she's older than he is. And you have another situation of cuckdom, where just like the prince and his Malibu Barbie princess, you know, and you see a lot of, in fact, you see a lot of it, a lot of these younger guys end up with women who are 6, 7, 8 years older, whatever it is. And then women take on like a motherly role, and they wrap these guys around their fingers. They emotionally control them, you know. So he bought this woman a mansion in Malibu for like $27.5 million. Trevor Noah. And I'm thinking, like, where does Trevor Noah get $27.5 million from to buy this mansion, right? And he's made about $50 million from this, that, and, you know, but he's still, like, you know, you got to pay agents and managers. And by the time you're done paying everybody, you know, not too much left over. But then, you know, of course, they buy these mansions, and, you know, they pay monthly on these things. A lot of these guys don't even own these places. They rent them. And then when their careers are over, they go out in misery with nothing, not even a buck. I mean, how many famous people have we seen gone to the wayside? But lots, you know, where they were on top and now they're gone. So that's the business, and that's what it does. And that's people too. So anyway, I just find it interesting that he has this big, huge mansion. That's not his only place, too. He's got a place in New York City and whatever. He owns a few places. That's great. But you can't be an advocate for the poor and not do anything for them, especially when you're so wealthy. You know, two people living in this giant $27.5 million mansion. You know, I just think it's disgusting, actually. But, you know, a fool and his money can do whatever they want to do together. And I just think that on the Comedy Channel, he came off as such a hater and a racist. I was watching The Office on the Comedy Channel, right? The one thing that turns me off the most on the Comedy Channel is their commercials, the nonstop drug ads, nonstop drug ads. They've got a drug for every ailment. They got a drug even if you don't have an ailment, you know? You know, you're not feeling bad yet, so take this pill. You know what I mean? Like seriously, the stuff like that, just nonstop. So, and also irritable bowel syndrome and whatever. I'm trying to eat my sandwich, man. Watch The Office. I don't want to hear about someone can't make it to the bathroom. You know what I mean? And think about the ramifications of that. Yo, that's not meatball parmesan sub material. I'm sorry. It's just not. So anyway, this is the Comedy Channel, the degeneration of the Comedy Channel. Then they took Trevor Noah off the air because over 100,000 complaints came in within a short amount of time saying he was a racist, people hated him, that people were saying, I don't even like Trump, but I can't stand this guy, Trevor Noah. You know, he's got to go. So for some reason, it's okay for people to be racist against white people. And I'm here to tell you, it's not okay. It's not okay for you to be racist against anyone. You know, it's not okay for you to hate anyone. You know what I mean? You know, individual that's harmed you and done you wrong or whatever. I don't care. Even that person's black or white or Chinese or, you know, Asian, whatever, man. You don't have a reason to condemn an entire race of people. So you really have no reason. It's people that really hate themselves that end up hating everything else, you know. And that's why I see Trevor Noah. He's got a lot of problems that just from observing his actions, I could say, right? But so they took him off the air for the whole summer, and now they revamped the show, and they made it very clear. It's totally different now, and different this and different that and different. Well, it's not. It's still the same Trevor Noah. And he's going to still try to tap that hating audience that he had. Then they put this other guy on. I've never even seen the show. I watched the commercials. And in fact, I talked about him like 2 weeks ago. I watched the commercial. He calls himself the God or Charlemagne the God or whatever. The commercials are all these black people basically talking him up. And I'm like, is it a black show? Is it for everybody? What are they trying to say? Then they had like another commercial that had like two white guys in there. And they basically, well, what's TV at night, nighttime? The one guy's like, a bunch of white guys. And this other guy, like some crackhead, starts laughing. You know, that's their representation of a Caucasian America, right, in that commercial. And the guy, this Charlemagne dude, I don't know him. He's supposed to be a comedian. I never saw him say one funny thing yet, you know. And if you have to say, watch my show because I'm black, you already lost. You lost the game, you know, because that's racism. That's racism. To push this guy's color to make people watch a show and try to PC correct them into watching a show because he's black, it's ridiculous. So you know who's the producer is that Stephen Colbert is the producer. Which doesn't shock me because he's definitely the white guy who's going to play the race card for the black guy to make people watch a show. How about you just people watch a show because it's funny and you're talented and they want to watch the show. You know, my favorite comedians are all black and I don't even look at them like that. Dave Chappelle, come on, man. The guy's a genius. You know, Chris Rock, you know, I mean, like he's slipping a little bit these days because he's getting older. I think that fire is going out, but I still love the guy, you know, and you know, I grew up watching black shows, Good Times and whatever, like, you know, What's Happening with that dude Rerun Dancing Man. You know what? And I didn't look at people like they're black. It was entertaining. I wasn't thinking I'm watching the show because they're black and I'm supporting the black community by doing it. You know, come on, man. You've already lost if you have to do that. And I think it's very, very ugly that the Comedy Channel feels the need to be racist and push, and not only push racists, you know, like a Trevor Noah and put them out there and sponsor them, but condemn people when you say, well, I don't like it. I'm not going to watch it. Well, you're not watching because you're a racist. You know, what? I'm going to share a story with you. Something that hurt me very, very much when I was younger. You know? Seventh grade teacher, Artie Mandel. Right now he works in admissions in Hofstra University on Long Island, right? So he was my teacher and they were organizing a class trip into the city. You know, we do like Broadway shows and stuff like that. When you grow up on Long Island, you get a lot of awesome culture that comes from the city and all that. Back in the day, I don't know what they do now, but that's the way it was back in the day. And on this particular trip, it was going to cost $50 to go. That paid for the show, the bus, and then, you know, whatever. And you brought your bag lunch, that type of thing, right? And I said, all right. I told him I couldn't go. And I told my mom, and she's like, we don't have the money. She's a single mom supporting two kids, you know, and paying rent, paying for food, paying for a car, paying for this, paying for that. You know how it goes. You know, no support, no nothing. So, and then I wasn't the only kid in that boat. There was other kids too, but it was a wealthy town. You know, you're growing up poor in a wealthy town. It's kind of hard, you know, but and I wasn't poor. I was poor enough, put it that way. Poor enough not to have, you know, poor enough not to be enjoying the things that other people enjoy when they have money. The true essence of freedom is having enough money. You know, to make those choices. You know, if you don't have enough money, you're just staying where you are. Your freedom is basically wherever you can get on foot. That's it. So, and it was hard for me even to say it to him. Like, you know, I'm sorry, I can't go. You know, I had to give my permission slip. I said I can't go. You know, I didn't tell him we didn't have the money because I was too embarrassed. I said I just can't go. And he's like, he looks at me and he's like, you're a racist. I'm like, what? He's like, you don't want to go to that show because they're black. The show is actually a show called Ain't Misbehaving, which I would have loved to have seen, by the way. I would have loved to have seen it. And, you know, it crushed me because I actually had respect for this dude until that point. So, you know, it's seventh grade. So you're talking to a kid that basically you calling a kid a racist and you don't even know. Meanwhile, he knew damn well that I had plenty, like, black friends and whatever. I made friends with everybody, you know, and visibly it's out there. Even hung out in the projects with my friends after people said, don't go there, you're going to get beaten up, whatever. I went to an all-black school when I was in sixth grade, you know. I made the best friends, my whole lifelong friends there. So, call me a racist? So, whatever, man. You know, it definitely made me think of what kind of person he was. And is, right? So, but the reality is, you can't browbeat people into things and play the race card. You can't do it because people are individuals. And then what happens? What happens when you force someone into thinking a certain way? Or, you know, you have to look at things at this perspective and this one only. You know, you force them into the other direction. That's what's going on with the whole LGBTQ, whatever now. You know, they're forcing people, instead of just live and let live, equality for all, you're forcing people to accept things that they're not ready to accept, especially these religious wackos, man. You know, they don't get down with any of that, you know, and a lot of them are closeted themselves. But then, of course, you're not going to know that. They're not going to come out and tell you something like that, right? They want you to live life how they see fit. And it's not even them. It's the book that they obey that they see fit. And they don't even know who wrote the book or what. Or, you know, I don't know. We don't even have time for that. I'm just saying, be careful out there. Because there's a lot of haters. There's a lot of ignorance. There's a lot of lowbrow people that would drag you down with them. And, you know, it's just a damn shame that that people are like that, you know. So, and then we got, you know, the whole thing with children and COVID and schools. So they're looking to put together a virus for kids by the end of this month. And we'll see how that goes. You know, a lot of people won't give it to their kid. Because it's not proven. You know, it's one thing if you're old and you get the vaccine or whatever and you don't make it, whatever happens to you. I mean, when you're elderly, it's different than when you're a little kid and you don't know how they're going to develop, how things are going to happen within them. There's just not enough information for these parents to bite into that. So we're going to witness a lot of weird stuff over the next few months, man. You know, and I really feel for people in the struggle. So I'm fully vaccinated. I tell people to get vaccinated. You know, it gives you a better chance of survival as an adult, especially if you're over a certain age, over 50, you got some problems, you're overweight, you got diabetes, whatever the hell you have, that virus is looking for you. The last time around, it wasn't looking for the kids. Now it is, you know, so that's a whole different thing. And then It's more about if you get this virus, not even that it kills you, what it does to your organs, or if you walk away from it with a 40, 50% lung reduction for the rest of your life, you know, or kidney failure or whatever the hell it does to you. So anyway, I see this case going on out in Utah, this Gabby Petito. And then, you know, she's got this boyfriend from Florida. They're driving a van all around. He returns to Florida alive and well. She's not. He's not talking, not telling the family. The police said, oh, he's a person of interest. Really? He was the last one to see her alive, and he's a person of interest, eh? So, and, you know, that's just the way it goes, I guess, in Florida. A lot of places, the guy would have been hauled in already and interrogated. You know, this guy's not talking, he's not sharing any info, his parents aren't talking. So, and then now the same, you know, there was a lesbian couple killed in Utah just around the same time. It turns out it was the day before they were killed, this guy had a fight with this girl Gabby, and then the following day, that's when that other couple was killed, and they're all in the same area. So, but, and his name is Brian Laundrie. They didn't even want to put that name out, you know? So now the father on Long Island's pleading for his daughter to come back and all this other stuff. And he's upset, you know, sad to say, but she's probably gone. You know what I mean? And, you know, the police are just letting this guy run around. He can take off if he wants. He can leave. He can go anywhere he wants to go. You know, he's not in police custody, nothing like that. And I guess in a case like this, when you don't have a body, but you do have a disappearance, and he was the last person to see her, they found the van, you know, that they were driving. So, but the guy goes back to Florida, gets himself a lawyer, and then now he's not saying anything. So that's got to tell you where things are at. Imagine being the father of that girl, or even the guy. You know, I mean, if I had a son and that was my son, I would encourage him to tell the truth and get out there, you know, and make things right. So if I was a father of the girl, I'd be hiring thugs to go get this guy and make him talk. You know what I mean? I wouldn't even hesitate, not for one second, to get some thugs and go down and get this dude and make him talk. You know, the police won't do it. The government won't do it. The government fails you. Okay. It's your daughter. It has nothing to do with the government or the police or the FBI or the powers that be. It has to do with you and your daughter. And the only thing between you and your daughter is this guy. So that's when you go to the guy and he's got the information that you need. You extract that information from him, you know? So just saying, you know, I mean, is that legal? Well, I mean, what's legal anymore in this horrible world? What's legal anymore? People justify whatever they want to justify, or the government tells you to go kill people in another country. We're having a war. Go kill, you know, go kill people you don't even know. Wipe out the whole families because we're having a war, right? So when it comes down to your daughter, that's your daughter. You know, there's things. In fact, like there's a case in Russia, right, of this guy who his best friend raped his 8-year-old daughter, repeatedly raped his 8-year-old daughter, right? The dude finds out and he kills the guy. So the police arrest the guy for murder. Do you know the outpouring and support that came out for this man? And people have already paid for his lawyer fees. People want him freed. They're petitioning to get him freed because they said he served justice. He killed a piece of crap that raped his 8-year-old daughter. He and his friend. Who the hell could do that to your friend? You're supposed to protect your friends and love your friends and be there for them. So my sister calls me a hopeless romantic, that the world that I think that should be is not the world that is, certainly, and this world won't change. But I think it doesn't take that many people to affect a change. You just have to want honest things and the right thing, you know? Gabby Petito's boyfriend named person of interest after her disappearance during the road trip, eh? Cute girl, too. Damn shame. But yeah, I would make the dude talk. So anyway, getting away from that thing, this is the interesting part for you guys, all you Red Pill fans. Why women, including feminists, are still attracted to benevolently sexist men. And this is the trigger. This is why everything that people say out there, the PC stuff, is BS, especially when it comes to feminism. Feminists do not attack the Taliban, by the way. The Taliban oppress women. They kill them. They execute women in public. You know, these are some of the worst people you'll find on the planet. And then in the same breath, or you see these like in Sweden, when they were sticking up, you know, for all these guys coming from, you know, Arab countries who are raping women, doing all these things, not a word from these feminists. You know, in fact, they say, well, we have to embrace these people from coming in. They're refugees, you know. So anyway, that's why whenever these feminist groups speak, they don't, doesn't mean anything, you know. So it's not coming from an honest point of view. Judge Judy, when they approached her, they were going to give her this award. And, you know, how about speaking out as a female judge, a successful female judge? She's like, no, I won't do it. She's like, I know. They're like, why? Why? Because you're so successful and you're a female. She said, I never looked at myself as a female judge. I looked at myself as a judge. That is the perfect answer right there. All right. If a man offers to help a woman with her heavy suitcase or to parallel park her car, I've done the suitcase thing. I've never offered to parallel park someone's car. I would probably drive off because that's how impulsive I am. But what should she, you know, what should she make of the offer? Like, you open a door for a woman, or see, I open a door for anybody who's walking up behind me. You know what I mean? It's respect. It's just something that's respect. So, okay. It is an innocuous act of, is it as an innocuous act of courtesy or a sexist insult to her strength and competence? Social psychologists who describe this behavior as benevolent sexism firmly favor the latter view, right? But researchers have also revealed a paradox. Women prefer men who behave in ways that could be described as benevolently sexist over those who don't. So you take a woman out. All right, ask a girl out. Hey, you want to go out on a date to, you know, that Italian restaurant down the corner? Yes. They go out on a date. They dress nice. They look good. They go out there. They're at the table. Got a little candlelight going. They got some garlic bread. Yeah, I know garlic bread on a date, you know. That's Italian, eh? If you both eat it, then that's fine. But the check comes, who pays? The guy whips out the wallet and says, hey, yeah, here's a tip too, and here's some extra dough, boom, 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 right? Is that sexist behavior? You can consider it sexist behavior, but if the woman allows the guy to pay, is that sexist behavior on her behalf, right? Maybe she should whip out her wallet and pay. So some say that women simply fail to see the ways of benevolent sexism undermines them because they're misled by the flattering tone of his brand of kindness. So psychologists have even suggested that benevolent sexism is more harmful than overtly hostile sexism because it is insidious, acting like a wolf in sheep's clothing. Listen to these people talk, huh? Taking simple acts of kindness and making something terrible out of it. And that's the problem with this PC world. This is politically correctedness right there. That's the problem with the PC world, is that they look into things to find fault with those things and say this is wrong and this is bad. Oh, is it any surprise that 80% of all working women say they hate working and they'd rather be home raising children? Is that sexism? These are people's honest answers to questions of how they feel. Oh, but they don't understand how they feel. That's what these psychologists will say. They have been brainwashed and controlled and blah, 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 blah. So, okay. Let me get this. So as social psychologists, which is a whole different world, social science, social psychologists, these are the people who are undermining your every effort to be happy. As social psychologists, we had reservations about these conclusions. Aren't women sophisticated enough to be able to tell when a man is being patronizing? So, you know what? I watch this beach cam, my Hamptons beach cam, at Cooper's Beach, especially, on Long Island, you know, so I like to have it on in the background when I'm working, and I like the seagulls and whatever, and it helps me do what I got to do. So, but I see the people going out there. It's 92% women, and half of them have kids. And this is all day long, all day going out there, all day coming back. This is an area where you won't find a house there for under $1 million. I'll guarantee these women drove a vehicle there that was worth at least $100,000 or more, you know, and so where are the men? Where are the men? Where are their men? You know, I mean, the ones who are married and they're out there, whatever, you know where they are? They're working their asses off so they can have that $1 million house and that $100,000 car so they can go to the beach all day, right? Think about that. And the women say, I was at the beach all day with the kids. You know how hard that is? I love that one. You know how hard that is to lay there in the sunshine and talk to my friends? Oh boy. Okay. What does benevolent sexism really signal? The concept of benevolent sexism was first developed in 1996. The ideas creators argued that sexism is not only openly hostile to them, attitudes like women should be cherished and protected by men, or behaviors like opening car doors for women cast them into less competent and always in need of help. All right. In this way, they argued, benevolent sexism subtly undermines gender equality. So when I see, you know, J-Lo, over 50, very attractive, wearing almost nothing on TV, shaking her coochie, whatever, you know, the what message is she giving young girls? And it's just very interesting how, and not just her, all these women who, and I don't even want to get on, we don't even have time to talk about Britney, and it's an ongoing saga, and she's getting more and more naked on her Instagrams and dancing around, which is horrible. It's desperation. It's terrible. But don't these women objectify themselves and cause objectification for other women? So how come the social scientists aren't going after these people? They're going to go after the men. No, you got Ben Affleck in the media looking at really expensive rings. Now, Ben, let me tell you where A-Rod went wrong. Right before J-Lo and A-Rod's relationship broke into pieces, A-Rod ran out and bought her a $2.5 million ring. That is the worst possible thing you can do to a J-Lo, because J-Lo can buy that ring for herself. She could buy 10 of those rings. All these guys give her those rings. In fact, I made a joke saying that she could probably pull people out of poverty throughout the world completely just by donating the rings that these guys have given her. It's the kiss of death. Successful women appreciate gifts that have nothing to do with monetary value. I will say that. I've been with successful women. I understand where that is. And also, women in general, when you give them something really expensive, and it doesn't matter if it's Christmas, birthday, Valentine's Day, I don't care, man. You give them something expensive, they're going to feel like they're being bought. And their friends are going to see that little piece of jewelry, and they're going to be jealous, and then all this drama is going to kick up. So you don't do that. You go the opposite. Go the opposite. Kubrick zirconia. Oh, whatever, you know. But I can write a whole book. I can write a book, right? Anyway. According to studies, women who acquiesce to this behavior tend to become increasingly dependent on men for help. They're more willing to allow men to tell them what they can and cannot do, and are more ambivalent about thinking for themselves and less ambitious and don't perform as well. See, this just sounds like a bunch of negative stuff towards women. Maybe the girl likes being taken out. Maybe the girl likes to be in a relationship like that, you know, and it takes two to tango. Where in a male-female relationship, there's very different roles, but they do come together, don't they? Literally. Given these documented downsides, why are women still attracted to this behavior? The answer could lie in what evolutionary biologists call parental investment theory. If you're an evolutionary biologist, however much money you make, it is way too much. Way too much. You understand that? Whereas men can successfully reproduce by providing a few sex cells, a woman's reproductive success must be tied to her ability to complete months of gestation and lactation. Now, that sounds sexist to me. You know? They're damn sexist. During much of human history, a woman's ability to choose a mate who is able and willing to assist in the process by providing food and protection from aggressors would have increased her reproductive success. So their evolution, therefore, shaped female psychology to attend to and prefer mates whose characteristics and behaviors reveal the willingness to invest. A prospective mate's muscular physique and today his big wallet certainly indicate that he possesses this ability, but opening a car door or offering his coat are signs that he may have a desired position. So maybe there's signs that the guy wants to just be kind and loving to the person that he loves. And the problem between men and women, men love women. Women love what men can do for them. You know, and there's a thing called hypergamy. Hypergamy is monkey branching up to a higher level. Being with a guy, you're a female with a dude, and then here comes another guy who's got more money, better looks, nicer stuff, and they monkey branch up to him. You see it all the time. You know, it happens in your favorite sitcoms, and you don't even realize it. I bet you it happened in The Office. Did you even know? Like the secretary, that Pam, you know, and then she was with the dude in the warehouse, then she monkey branched up to the other dude and whatever, and then she's the one causing all this office gossip and the drama and whatever, and she's just a real hater saying terrible things about people. You know, that's an atypical situation right there. So, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with someone running the house. I mean, and a stay-at-home mom certainly is a job and a half, you know, but so is going out and working every day is a job and a half and bringing home that kind of money, you know, and making the right decisions. So, I'll say it like this. Be kind. That's all. Just be kind. Be kind to the people around you. Be kind to the people that you love. And if you love them, you will be kind, right? So it's just interesting how we don't even have enough time. I could do another hour very easily, but I got to end the show. But just watch Ben Affleck and do the opposite of what he does. His relationship will be over with J-Lo in a month or so, and then he'll be another $4 or $5 million in the hole from jewelry. And the guy should just come find me, Ben Affleck. You gonna spend $5 million on J-Lo? Come find me. Give me half the money. I'll kick you in the nuts, and we'll be even. So this is me on the Red Pill News. Take the red pill. Take the red pill. Take the red pill. I'll see you guys next week on this here show on United Public Radio Network. Bye.